Good morning, and I'm glad you're all here today on this crispy Sunday morning. You'll be happy to know, if it makes you feel better, that it is 67 degrees in Palm Springs. So if that makes it a little better, they probably have as much sun, though. There was an atheist scientist that came to God and said, "I have figured out a way to make a man without you." Well, God said, "Okay, let me see you do it." So the atheist bent down to the ground and scooped up a handful of dirt. But God stopped him right there and said, "Oh, no, you don't. Get your own dirt." That's a little bit. Look at her. Didn't try that one on you, did I? First joke of the year. Didn't do well. There'll be more. It's a new calendar year still, January 14th, a new Christian year following Advent and Christmas season, celebrating the anticipation and birth of Jesus. Last week, Dawn read the familiar story of the baptism of Jesus and the beginning of his ministry. We also remembered our baptisms. We consecrated our church leaders last week who are following their calling for the mission of Parkway Hills this year. And 2 weeks ago, we remembered 2017 and the many, many happy attributes. And we rang in the new year hoping that all will be good for the year ahead. Dawn also introduced our new series for the beginning of 2018. As we look ahead, hope is born. Now what? Throughout this series, we will be focusing on chapter 1 of Mark. With these readings, our key focus words that we will also focus on: follow, teach, bring, proclaim, and listen. So I also encourage you to read chapter 1 of Mark each day. Circle the words or phrases that speak to you. Focus on one thought each day and what it is saying to you. Make notes in your Bible with dates, thoughts, concerns, and joys in your life. It is okay to write in your Bible. You can even highlight. Hope is born. Now what? So our text today comes from Mark 1, verses 14 through 20. Seven verses filled with passage after passage of insight. Powerful phrases. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe. Immediately come and follow. Seven verses where we, as individuals and a collective congregation, can follow our call and follow our passions in ministry. So hear these words from Mark chapter 1. I'm going to start and add verse 1 and then 14 through 20. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of these words. Let us pray. Oh God, we settle comfortably in our familiar places, but let us not be a settled people. Awaken us to the opportunities before us to reach out and witness to those who need our help. Alert us to the possibilities of taking risks to follow Jesus where we would rather not go. Give us the courage to confront our doubts that we might have a growing faith in the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So our key word today is follow. Jesus says to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me." And immediately they left their nets. Additionally, Jesus sees James and John and immediately calls them, and they followed. To follow, by definition, means to go, proceed, or come after, to engage in as in a calling or way of life, or to seek knowledge. We do a lot of following. We played follow the leader as kids. We followed the yellow brick road. We follow people on Facebook. I don't. We follow people on Twitter. I don't. We follow the music director. If you are my age or a little older, you might remember following the bouncing ball with singing along with Mitch Miller. We follow our dreams. We follow the star. We follow our passions in ministry. So imagine you live in a fishing town, working in your boat, your family business, the only work and lifestyle you know, casting your nets day after day. Simon and Andrew were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Day after day, it was the same thing, the same sea, the same net, the same boat. Day after day, it was wind, water, fish, sore muscles, tired bodies. They probably grew up watching their father and grandfather fishing, watching their future life, watching how they too would spend their time. Cast the net, pull it in, cast the net, pull it in. If you're not casting the net, then you sit in the boat mending the net. That's what James and John were doing, casting and mending, casting and mending. We may not fish for a living, but we know about casting and mending nets. Days that all seem the same, life is routine, lived on autopilot, nothing changes. We don't expect much to happen. This is our life. We cast the nets. We mend the nets. Casting and mending to make a living, to feed our family, to pay our bills. Casting and mending to gain security and get to retirement. Casting and mending to hold the family together, to make our marriage work, to grow up our children. Casting and mending to gain things that we want. A house, a car, books, clothes, a vacation. Casting and mending are the realities of life. The circumstances in which Jesus comes to us, where we hear the call to follow a new life, to follow our ministry passions, the place where we are changed and the ordinary becomes the extraordinary. These new disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, were not looking for Jesus. They were too busy with the nets, casting and mending. They didn't even notice Jesus, but he not only sees them, he talks to them. Jesus has a way of showing up in the ordinary places of life and interrupting our daily routines. That's what he did to the lives of Simon, Andrew, James, and John, and that's what he does to your life and to mine. Follow me is the invitation Jesus sets out to a new life and a new passion in ministry. These four fishermen accepted the invitation immediately, and their lives were changed forever. They will no longer catch just fish, but they will fish for people. Jesus could have said to the carpenters, "Follow me and you will build the kingdom of heaven." To the farmers, "Follow me and you will grow God's people." To the doctors, "Follow me and you will heal the brokenness of the world." To the teachers, "Follow me and you will open minds and hearts to the presence of God." To the parents, "Follow me and you will nurture new life." He could have said all these, and maybe he does. The invitation, "Follow me," is an invitation to leave behind our nets, our boats, and even our families, and follow our passions in ministry. Hope is born. Now what? So what are your passions in ministry? Are they being fulfilled? Are there ideas you have but are unwilling to take that step? Are you ready to go immediately? Brother Roger of Taizé shares some of the questions he hears from people discerning their call. How can I be myself? How can I fulfill myself, they ask. However, Brother Roger says, Christ does not say to me, be yourself. He says, be with me. Christ does not tell us, find yourself. He says, follow me. Ken, a 50-year-old medical technician, husband, father, tennis player, and self-proclaimed handyman, is constantly asking himself, what in the world am I doing here? As he finds himself in unexpected places in his faith journey. He's been a member for the same church of 25 years and first helped with Thanksgiving Day baskets, gathering canned goods and perishables and delivering boxes of food to families in need. Then Ken worked with the youth in a week-long housing rehab project. Later, he served and received training and led a team to Nicaragua to rebuild schools damaged by a hurricane. And then they took time to teach the children. Now he mentors new members who want to get involved with hands-on service projects. I never imagined myself doing this, he says, but it answers the question, what in the world am I doing here? God put me here, he says. Ken followed a path that fits his passion in ministry. So what are your challenges and our ministry passions at Parkway Hills? Will you follow Juliet's lead for the homeless? Think about it. Here's a 70-year-old Malaysian woman at Parkway Hills, semi-retired, following her passion to serve the homeless through Grace Place at Galloway. She doesn't have to do this. Follow and join her passion for this ministry to the homeless. Get involved in the planning committee, the effort to collect supplies, deliver clothes, serve breakfast, sit and talk with the homeless. Will you follow Bill Flynn's lead to make bunk beds for kids in Madison County who do not have the basics of bedding? It's the same as Juliet. Bill doesn't have to do this. He's a 70-year-old retired salesman, moved here to be closer to his grandkids. So join him and others and see their passion to build bunk beds for those who have no beds. And as a side, I had permission to give their ages. Will you follow the lead of Molly, Carrie, Lori, Allison, Rebecca, and others to go to East Flora Elementary Schools to help with the Backpack Buddies program? Did you know that your children collected enough money at Christmas to supply 45 backpacks for East Flora kids who would not have meals on the weekends? We expanded this ministry this coming year, to include more reading, buying books to read, and leaving the books at the school for future students. You can help with Teacher Appreciation Day, help with the clothes closet. We just delivered a package of 4 big sacks of coats that were left behind at the public schools and lost and founds Friday, just in time for this cold snap. And thanks to Jan Brister for helping with that. Will you follow the lead of the Monday quilters? They have made well over 600 prayer quilts. Will you follow the lead of our knitters? Learn how to knit. Make hats for the homeless and prayer Afghans. We have samples in the office you can look at. They will teach you to knit. Will you follow the lead with the Kairos Women's Ministry Program? Will you follow the lead of our church leaders commissioned last week, taking care of the church business, the trustees who carry for the buildings and grounds? It just doesn't happen. And keep an eye on Tony Haynes as he follows his passion in ministry in Haiti and starts his seminary classes. So what is your passion in ministry? Is there something we don't do here yet? Make yours known to us. Examine and follow your passions wherever they may take you. It's never too late. Hope is born. Now what? It's never too late to start. to start a new ministry for the church or for yourself. You may be reluctant. We all are. We all have been. Come and follow me, Jesus says to his disciples. It's never too late. Adam Hamilton, in his book, Moses, the Reluctant Prophet, shares the familiar story of Moses being called by God through the burning bush in the desert. God told Moses he has seen and heard the pain of the Israelites. But God didn't send a legion of angels. He sent an 80-year-old shepherd, calling him from the desert through a burning bush, saying, "Get going, I'm sending you." God sometimes chooses, calls, and uses the most unlikely people to do his work in the world. And that unlikely person may be you. As Adam Hamilton also points out, God's usual way of working in the world to alleviate suffering, injustice, inequality, and pain is not to intervene miraculously, suspend the laws of nature, violating the principle of human freedom, or sending angels to make things right. No, God works through people as he sees and hears the suffering of others, expecting his people to do the same. God calls us to step up as instruments of his aid. This past year, we've seen many destructive natural events, hurricanes in Puerto Rico, Florida, and Texas, as well as wildfires and now mudslides in California, just to name a few. Does God care? Yes, he does. And God's response is to call his people who care as well, saying, "Get going, I'm sending you." Are you willing to go? God's call most often comes in a whisper, or through a feeling, or just a nudge. And the call to follow Jesus is a call to discipleship. Christ is calling you to come and follow. How will you respond? Hope is born. Now what?